you get to determine the season that you're in. Mm. There's a level of maturity you can grow in with your emotional intelligence to be able to not allow exterior circumstances determine what season you're in. Jesus has a phrase, he says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Mm. And you know, the Holy Spirit is the constant despite all the chaos. And so I can be going through a crazy season, but no, I'm going to choose that this season is a season for growth, you know? So in the same way, when you're just getting started, I always encourage people to identify your season initially starting out as a season of discovery and not a season of you being discovered, but you discovering all the stuff that takes place, the learning.
Have you ever thought about creating your own personal brand and creating content that's going to bring more eyes to your business? Today, I'm here with Omar Iltokhoury, one of the top content creators. He has over 60 million views on YouTube, 2.5 million subscribers. He's the guy behind some of the top personal brands that everyone loves. He's a content creator, coach, and podcaster. Thank you so much for being here today.
Pumped. I'm honored. Thank you for coming to Las Vegas to do an interview.
Yeah. So I'm actually here for a workshop. So we can talk a little bit about what the video department is before we go into how it is that you've been helping me and what it is that you do to help other people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The video department is kind of how I've wrapped my coaching business. I love to help entrepreneurs. And I think I like to help entrepreneurs with content creation. I've been doing video for 15 years and I've seen the opportunity that we live in that presents itself where you can, in your day-to-day business activity, create a brand that exposes or reveals your business to the world and gets people to know and build, I would say, automate the know, like, trust factor that people need in order to make a financial exchange with somebody. You know, maybe you're in real estate or maybe you're a coach or consultant. But I also see these paths crossing where some people just getting into content creation as a business, that is also an opportunity. And so, yeah, I find that's what the video department is. And it stems between doing, you know, coaching virtually, but also doing like in-person mini events to really help people create content. And I also love helping with the whole setup. So right now you're at the video department, which is my studio here in Vegas. And I love sharing what I've stumbled on over 15 years ago. And it's exciting.
Yeah. And I came across your YouTube because I was trying to build a studio and I was watching all these different videos, bought the wrong camera before I found you. And so when I did find you, I started upgrading everything. And even my husband mentioned it. He's like,
dude, I've ruined a lot of marriages.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. No. I mean, just because it's always like, bro, I was watching your videos and I spent a lot of money. Yeah, that's kind of the pattern.
Yeah. No, luckily he's very supportive.
Yeah, great. So, that's awesome. Yeah. Shout out to you guys for being a great couple.
Yeah. So he was like, I've seen you upgrading ever since you started consuming his free content. So when you did the challenge, he's like, go for it. And then, you know, all your program as well. Tell us a little bit about how it is that you go about doing that. Because you're someone who teaches that you have to give value.
Yes.
So, something that I learned from, well, I did the John Maxwell certification. And something he says is that Jesus never asked for anything before he did something for them.
Yep.
And I feel like that's kind of your method as well.
Yeah, I think it's a biblical principle that transcends whatever field or sphere you find yourself in. Mm-hmm. But the journey you went on is essentially the journey that could be automated for anyone's business. And that is a journey it's like the law of reciprocity where you just give so much without asking. There were like the videos you watched, I would say the only thing I probably asked for was hit the subscribe button or check out the links below if you want to check out some stuff. But in providing content that allows people to move forward, I always like to say if your content is so valuable, it changes the behavior of human beings. And in your case, between my case and you, it caused you to change your behavior and the camera you were buying and the equipment you were purchasing, all because of something I gave you, like for free. And so there was something in you that was created that like, I trust this guy. If this is what he does for free, I can't imagine what he'd do if I actually, you know, jumped into his inner circle. And so that series can take place even if you're a real estate agent. You know, if you're a real estate agent, you could be making videos about your city, the pros and cons of living in whatever city you live in. And, you know, what does $500,000 get you in this city? And should you buy or rent? You know, you interviewed somebody just before this one and she just moved to Las Vegas. And, you know, I'm sure she went on some sort of search for information about Las Vegas, and whether it was on YouTube or whatever, I would imagine that somebody came up and helped in any way, shape, or form. Now, if we never work together, that's cool too. The goal isn't to do this in order to make a sale. But the transaction is a byproduct of building that trust. And so that happens, yes, with giving valuable content for free and not really asking for much. And I would say more than asking, when the opportunity presents itself, or when somebody comes up with the process of going deeper, and sometimes going deeper means going faster. And so that's why I created the video department, was because I found people were watching these videos and it wasn't giving the full answer. It's hard. Everyone has a different context. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a different space they're setting up, you know, cameras and stuff with, and everybody has a different way of showing up. It doesn't even have to be a podcast. It could be a talking head video. It could be vlogging. It could be just vertical content. So because I'm obsessed with all this stuff, I found I needed to park my obsession somewhere and help people more intimately. So that's kind of how that all happened. And and I think, yeah, just giving free value creates something. And then if you do it over time and you do it consistently and you have a library of content that speaks around a certain idea, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're currently living in an opportunity there's a current opportunity that if you can start building this, it's like building wealth. So the sooner you start, the more you'll have to just work for you. So I have videos, I believe on YouTube, I have like well over 350 videos on YouTube that are always getting views. Doesn't matter. So I'm right now, I can be here physically one-on-one right now with you, but there are hundreds of thousands of people consuming me right now. And that's a powerful concept. I don't know where else that concept can actually live.
Probably just the internet.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you mentioned the person I interviewed before, because she said that's how she started doing NLP. She consumed free content from a YouTuber. And then she said she helped me so much that I did a session with her. And then from there, it helped me so much that I decided to do this for a living as well.
Yeah. And I see it. And this is where I see the opportunity, as to you don't necessarily need a big audience to make big money. Because if you're very knowledgeable in what you do, like you can have 300 people watch your videos, which people in our program, in the program, like they get discouraged when they get 200 views. I'm like, you got 200 views. I think that there's something else that needs to be in place. You need to create more. So if you get 200 views on every video, you create 5 videos, that's 1,000 views. But if the call to action is simple and it makes sense to what it is you're talking about, then there are going to be some people that want to raise their hand and go a little bit deeper. And so, if you like coaches and consultants, getting started creating content is, I think, so important, because you can simply set up a discovery call. And then if it's somebody you want to work with, like, but whether you're the coach and consultant or the actual person that's going to invest or not invest, you can make that decision on that call that like, this can work and I can actually help you. Yeah. But how did you even discover me? By the content, which most people have. This is something my business coach teaches me. Most people don't have an abundance problem. Like, you're not lacking. We're not lacking anything. What we lack is the awareness that like, most people don't have a business problem. You don't. It's not like, oh, my business isn't making money. Well, it's not that your business is bad. It's just that nobody knows about your business. If more people just knew about you, then they'd more than likely your business would do better. So there's a direct correlation. If you can put out really good content, I think it can really affect your life experience. And that's a conviction I walk in, is if you want a better life, you can create content consistently for a year. With pure intentions, generously give free value, and put a system in place that makes it easy to connect with you. I mean, it'll change your life.
Yeah. And I like that you teach that also, because you're telling people actually add value.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, do this one trend or this dance and it'll get you some views and hopefully people want to buy your product or
Yeah, and there is two ways, right? I mm-hmm. mean, there's entertainment value, mm-hmm. and then there's education value. Yeah. And we all love being entertained. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. most of the time when we're scrolling on Instagram, we are in a mindless state, mm-hmm. and that's cool, and that's because it's entertaining. Yeah. But there are certain individuals like me who, mm-hmm. when I'm being entertained, I also like to be educated at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I can watch something, and because of the way I watch something that's entertaining, mm-hmm. it's actually educating me on something in the regards to content. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's also very educational pieces of content out there. That's a type of videos you can make, mm-hmm. or educational type of videos. And I have found there is like a cool dynamic called, it's them put together, edutainment. Mm. Yeah, if you mm-hmm. don't remember, if you remember Bill Nye, the Science Guy, mm-hmm. he made learning entertaining. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Like when we had a sub teacher in high school, mm-hmm. maybe not in high school, maybe that was like, bro, if you're watching Bill Nye, the Science Guy in high school, your teacher doesn't care about you.
We watched him in like eighth grade.
Yeah, so. Okay, it was like eighth grade, yeah. middle school. And yeah, it was like when it went in, it was exciting because it's like mm-hmm. it was entertaining, but you learned something. Mm-hmm. So there's a way to do that. I mean, like, and finding it for you. And I find that a lot of times if you want to be more entertaining with your educational content, mm-hmm. it really comes to just being more of who you are. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually trying to be entertaining. It's like, no, yeah. you become very entertaining when you're just secure in who you are and how you deliver. Mm-hmm. Because in that case, then you interpret the way. And this is why it can never be crowded, because if you're just being who you are, there's no competition. Mm-hmm. And I think about somebody that just comes to mind is Erica Kohlberg. She's like a law person.
Okay.
You know, she's huge. Millions everywhere. Millions mm-hmm. of followers everywhere. And she just made content like, you know, acting as if she was like the person at the like airlines counter, mm-hmm. and being like, hey, my flight got canceled. And, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't know. And then she would act as the other person. And this was her way of sharing law and making it accessible to everybody, but she made it entertaining, but she was just being herself. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's so many ways that you can do it, but finding what is for you is really mm-hmm. important, because there's so many, I mean, content, it could be written copy, it could be audio, we can do, you know, newsletters, video, like mm-hmm. vertical video, long form video, short videos. So there's so many ways that you can choose your medium. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why there's a process. That's why my program is a year long. Because mm-hmm. like, I could totally make it a boot camp, make it 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. But I found that this is a journey.
Yeah.
And if I want to best serve people, I should probably be a part of that journey with them.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to combine the two, education and entertainment. Because when I started the supplement company, I just wanted to share information. And that doesn't hit with a lot of people, because you said they're on social media trying to be entertained. Mm-hmm. And if I don't use like the right hooks, or I don't add entertainment to it, it doesn't get as many views. So for a moment there, I was stuck thinking I need to create these meaningless reels
yeah.
just for views, but then it's not bringing sales, but neither are the boring information videos.
Yeah. So like we can go mm-hmm. there and kind of like unpack yeah. that, but mm-hmm. I'll first say, you know, starting with the end in mind is so important. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing dance videos just because it'll get the views, mm-hmm. guess what? You're going to be known for dance videos. Mm-hmm. So if you can reverse engineer the old concept of like, do I want to be known for that? Mm-hmm. Like, I made a decision when I started my podcast. I was like, dude, I don't want any other kind of type of video to live on my YouTube channel but a podcast. Mm-hmm. And so, because I want when people click on my videos, that's the expectation. Now, mm-hmm. why do people watch my podcast? There is strategy that you can implement that doesn't have to do with being entertaining. It's just about being effective. Mm-hmm. So you could be educational, not as entertaining, but because you're effective, mm-hmm. it'll work.
Yeah.
And so I would say in your case, let's just break it down. So you were mm-hmm. doing like videos that you did because you thought it would get you views. Mm-hmm. And I would say that comes from a place of not, you know, understanding like who's a buyer. Mm-hmm. Like, is somebody gonna buy from me because I'm dancing?
Maybe. Well, I was never dancing, but yeah, yeah.
But trends, that yeah. like concept, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And thank you for being clear. Yeah. You know, so everybody,
that's something I don't
yeah,
do.
Yeah, but there are people that think yeah. that if I you know, risk my reputation, I'll get mm-hmm. views. Is essentially what people, and so mm-hmm. it's a very surface level way of creating content, you know. Mm-hmm. And what people don't realize is that those views represent people, mm-hmm. and there could be. I would rather. Mm-hmm. have 1,000 views on a video and they're all entrepreneurs than 1,000,000 views and they're all teenagers. Like,
yeah,
just because of what I, because I have the end in mind, you know? Yeah. And actually YouTube actually, it thinks the same thing. And I wouldn't say rather, but like my for every 1,000 views, when you monetize your YouTube channel, for every 1,000 views, YouTube gives you like an average cost. For every 1,000 views you get, you're going to get paid X amount of dollars. It's called a CPM.
Okay.
It's cost per milli, which I don't know why it's cost per milli, but whatever. That's just what they call it. But for every 1,000 views, this is how much they pay you. Now, I get about $30 for every 1,000 views.
Okay.
I would argue that somebody like Mr. Beast probably gets something along the lines of $7 for every 1,000 views. But he, I mean, he's doing crazy amount of views and he sells his own, you know, then he supplements that by selling his own stuff. But that's a big jump. That's like 3X more. I get paid 3X more, but that's because I'm in business and marketing. And so like the quality of the viewer is so important. And so thinking about, this is why knowing about keeping, I would say, this is why being obsessed with who you want to reach and serve to the point like you can like, you can make up a story and then meet that person. Like, you know, I'm trying to help people. And like I said, who I help, you know, people who are just starting out in their business or they're making a few $100,000 or maybe a little over 1,000,000. And I meet those people and they come into my world. Well, it's because I have them in mind when I'm creating content. And so the quality of the viewer is very important. And so you could build an audience with very low quality. And I say low quality in the sense of like just entertainment. But if I'm a brand and I want to sponsor, you know, do a partnership with somebody, I'd rather do it with somebody who has very high engagement and that they're the people that are watching or consuming this person are, you know, they're buyers or they invest, you know, money is important. And so, yeah, that's kind of the framework in mind.
Yeah. And that's interesting because I feel like a lot of people don't consider that. They're like, how can I go viral? How can I go viral? And that's all they think about. So then they try to make content for everybody instead of asking themselves, who's my buyer and how can I serve that person? And I like how you say make a lot of free content that's going to bring value and then that's going to make them trust you.
Yep.
I was listening to this Argentinian guy and he was talking about, he called it like the idiot generation. And he was referring to like back in ancient Greece. So the commoner or the common man, he wouldn't take any interest in politics. So he was called like the idiot, not like saying that they were idiots, just what they weren't knowledgeable in politics. So they wouldn't. And what he was saying, he was like, now people go and vote without any information. But I feel like we can also apply that to content. A lot of people are just putting content out there without actually taking the time to learn something. They're just trying to make money, like a quick buck.
That's good, yeah.
And then also Dave Ramsey, he was saying that not everybody needs to create content, that it's only if you have like this burning desire, like I have this lesson that I learned, so I wanna share it with you and I wanna help you. What are your thoughts on that? No,
that's really good. Well, I'll address the viral thing first. Like there is a term that I love that this guy named Brock Johnson came up with. He's like the number one Instagram educator.
Okay.
Great follow on Instagram. But he has this term called it's VFM, viral for me.
Okay.
So viral for me means it means that if you talked about the thing you loved and so happened to be also be the thing you sell and you get 20,000 views, that is a viral for me moment.
Okay.
Like, no, it's not 1,000,000, but because the stars align and things make sense, 20,000 views would be amazing for my business, you know? So like doing the best you can to maximize the reach, I see it as a stewardship thing. If I have a message that will help people, I need to do my best in presenting it in a way that will reach the most people. And kind of going back to Jesus, that's like, yeah, that's what he does. He says, Jesus didn't say in Matthew 25, I believe, he didn't say, you know, I'm Jesus and I'll give you rest for your souls. No, he said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. So he was identifying the problem that people deal with or struggle with. And and then presented himself as the solution. So that framework is the same framework when, you know, putting out content. So I think, yes, I don't believe everyone should create content. I do believe that if you are in business, it's kind of a non-negotiable that you need some sort of outbound, some way of getting people to know who you are. And it could be as ineffective as a billboard that you pay for. It could be as consistent as a weekly email newsletter, but like you need outbound. The cool thing though about video and audio podcasting and these social media platforms is that anyone can get that outbound when they're on. So, you know, like when you send out an email, that's kind of tough because like they either see it or they don't, whether the type of person that sends out the email, it came out at a certain time. But if you're consistently creating content, you could just show up consistently for a person and build that trust.
Okay.
But yes, I do think they're the best people, the best creators and entrepreneurs who create content really have it, that have a burden to like help people go from point A to point B and point B to point C. For some reason, they just are more successful. That's why I like to say that we're living in a time where it's not about who's best. It's who's best known. And so if you're the best at what you do, but nobody knows you, I would argue or ask the question, are you really the best? Because if you were the best at what you did, then you would know how to get your bestness to the best of your ability in front of people. Because you understand, because I'm really good at this thing, that because I'm really good at it, I thought of the people who want to be good at it also. And therefore I know what they're asking. I know what they're dealing with and I know what problems they're facing. So therefore I'm going to help them. So it does help. And the reason why it does help to like have that, like, I want to help people thing is because you can't be successful trying out building a brand for a short amount of time. It's very hard. I mean, it's not like, hey, let me try this thing for a month. No, it's like, hey, I'm going to build a brand. Like brands aren't built overnight. They're built over time. And brands give off a feeling. What do you feel when you see the Nike logo? What do you feel when you see the Apple logo? That you feel what was created over time. And so that's what we're all trying to create when creating content. So
This episode was sponsored by the Injury Paralegal with Adam and Garza Law Firm. If you guys are ever in an accident, they are the people to call. I personally use them whenever I was in an accident, and throughout the whole process, they always made me feel like family, like my health was their priority, and they were able to get me a settlement that I was happy with. So if you guys are ever in this situation, I recommend you save her phone number. I'll share it on the screen. Go follow her on Instagram, The Injury Paralegal, and just have this information on you because you just never know. Hopefully nothing ever happens. This had never happened to me. I wasn't sure what to do. I called Monse and then she guided me throughout the whole process. They also speak Spanish, so if you or a family member doesn't speak English, you guys can also give them a call.
It doesn't hurt to like, just even if you don't feel it, honestly, I'm like, dude, just make videos, because you're getting some stuff out of the way. There's so many implied tasks to making content. Just record on your phone. But you know, there's also like, you can stand in front of a window and you'll learn like, oh, this doesn't look good when I don't wipe the lens. Like, I'm glad I learned that when nobody was watching. So like, I take the season when nobody's watching, even with that desire, or even if you don't have desire, but just, you know, just putting out stuff. It's funny because like my wife, she got a real estate license, more or less, not to do real estate, but so we can start investing in real estate. And I'm like, all right, babe, you're married to Omar. You got to create content. And she just didn't like creating. She's like, I don't want it. She's like, who the heck? I just got my license. Who am I to freaking talk about Las Vegas real estate market? I'm like, no, but what do you do with Ruby in the city? You know, as a mom with a toddler, can you just show that off? And I remember her like, she's like, okay, So she goes to Home Depot every first Saturday of the month. Home Depot does this thing where you can bring your kid and they could, there's a project and they get an apron and all this stuff. And she made a little video like, hey, brought Ruby, and it got like a lot of views.
Nice.
Did she make a transaction because she made that video? No, but it built her awareness. Mm. And if anybody were to have seen that and maybe click on her profile and it says like a Las Vegas real estate agent, then maybe over time she could maybe work with people, you know? So, and that's just brand altogether. And so, yeah, a lot of people getting into it feel like they need to pigeonhole themselves in a box when it's like, no, you can actually have a creative approach to helping people.
Yeah. So for like a business owner that's listening right now and they're like, okay, I know I need to create content to bring awareness to my brand, but I have so much going on. You have a lot going on. You do a lot of different things. And on top of that, you're a husband and a father. You're also a pastor. I think people have asked you before, how do you balance everything? And you use the word rhythm. Rhythm. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah. That is a big objection, by the way, with like a lot of people that why aren't you building your brand or why aren't you posting content? I don't have time. I always like to address that limited belief with the concept that there's nothing better worth your time if you are in business than to dedicate time to create content or just dedicate the activity of creating content. Now, you know, there's this phrase, it's the creativity comes best in constraints. You know, when you actually have to operate with limitation is when you're most creative. And so if you know you don't have a lot of time, you could ask the question like, what can I do? Well, I can just film myself doing the thing that I do. This is where I talk about be the content, don't create the content. Gary Vee would say, document, don't create. We all say the same crap, by the way. Everybody says the same thing. But so I know that if I'm ever giving game, that there's always that there should just be a camera rolling. You know, if I'm on a coach call, I want a camera to be rolling because I'm not looking into the lens creating, but something's capturing it. You know, so the constraint of having a lot of my hands in a lot of things, and it forces me to be more creative, and then it also forces me to be more effective. So now when I'm talking, I'm just talking more effectively too. Because I know a camera is rolling. Okay. So there's a level of, I mean, this is over time. Maybe somebody would be like, dude, this is way too deep, but this is kind of how I've gotten to the point of being able to do a lot of things. But yeah, back to the rhythm thing. I just believe there's no such thing as work-life balance. I believe there's such thing as just living and making decisions, and you can make wise decisions or bad decisions. And when I say that there is, however, work-life rhythm, it's just understanding that we live in seasons, and there are seasons that will pull from me more than others in various different forms. Like, you know, like you said, I'm a husband, father, pastor, entrepreneur, podcaster. Like, yeah, there's all those things. You know, understanding the seasons when it's time to really be more pastoral, and like when we're gearing up for a group season, or just like the amount of inbound that's coming my way with people that just need a lot of help and time and hospital visits and stuff. So I'm like, okay, I'm okay to pull back. But all that is predicated by knowing who I am. And before I'm all those things, I'm a son of God, you know, I'm a child of God. So before I even put on all these hats, because that's the foundation, I know that there's grace for these other areas. So I'm not forcing anything. It's just, I'm just moving it. They're in the message paraphrase, in that same verse that we talked about, Jesus says like, and I'll give you rest, a rest for your souls. I love the message paraphrase by Eugene Peterson. He says, tap into the unforced rhythms of grace. You know, like Jesus offers this unforced rhythm, like where grace is when like you feel like the wind is at your back. You're not like straining, you know, I feel like, you know, toiling is like the wind's at your front and you're pushing against the wind. And so I believe when you know who you are in Christ and you know your identity as a child, a son or daughter of God, that everything from that place becomes, I don't want to say easier, but just makes more sense. And then you look at a person's life and it's like, how do they do that? Well, they're in their grace zone. They're in the zone that God's created them to operate in, and they have the capacity to do so because God's called them to that thing. So I know it's kind of like deep, but like some people can do a lot of things. Some people can't, but it just goes back to like, what are you called to do?
Yeah.
One of my favorite scriptures, I'm in the process of writing a sermon because I'm preaching in a couple weeks. And, you know, I went, Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things would be added unto you. And, you know, God is a God of order. Like when you get the first thing in line, you have the rest. Like a thought I wrote down was, when God is first, more than things being in order, your life will be in order. Meaning there'll be less chaos. But it was actually my pastor that broke down the first, you know, like the principle of the first is less about one, two, three. So it's not like God's first, my wife's second, my kid's third, church fourth, business fifth, you know. It's God is center, and then everything is built around the center of that. And so I think that's why we have a balance issue. Of a balance issue, because we think we could turn on and off, but like we got 24 hours in a day. Most people work the traditional 8-hour workday, and it would be impossible for a human being to give 8 hours of the same intensity at home, because that's 16 hours, and that only leaves us with 8 more hours, which is when you sleep. So that intense, like, so it's if it was about balance, we would just all fail, because you can't give that same intensity. We're not made for that. And so I think that's why it's knowing, like, just in a day's time, let's just say, how do you, rather than doing a balance view of a work of a regular day of the week, let's look at a rhythm day of the week, you know? So for me, it's the rhythm. It's waking up before everybody and get spending at least 15 minutes in God's word. I love reading the proverb of the day. There's 31 Proverbs, whatever day of the month it is, like today is the 11th, so I'm going to Proverbs 11. And then reading the Proverbs and maybe a couple chapters in the New Testament. And then, you know, Amanda wakes up and then it's like, okay, well, I'll make coffee. And can we just talk about yesterday a little bit? And, you know, and then Ruby starts to get up. And now it's like, I'm just all in with whatever is needed to make this morning so successful. And then, you know, taking Ruby to school and making sure that that time is intentional, you know. And sometimes that intentional time isn't just me talking to her. Sometimes it's what I'm listening to. So I love listening to sermons and worship music because I know I want those to be normal for her. But I'm not being intense dad right now. No, I'm just, I feel like putting on a sermon. So like, this is a good way to start our morning. And then I get to the office, and I'm not an 8-hour guy. I'm not even, I mean, I'm always on in my mind, I think. But I usually have a hard cutoff at around 2 p.m. But because of the life I've been able to create by the grace of God, like, hey, baby, you want to go grab, let's go grab lunch. Let's meet for lunch. And now we get to have lunch and talk about some stuff. And when it's time to like come home, there's like a moment. It's like, you know, I can't, if I was about balance, I'd be done. I'd be done by the time I get back home to be a dad and a husband. So, but because it's about rhythm, like I knew I could ease out like toward the end of my day. I'm not going to frantically leave here and, you know, get to a thing. I'm going to go home. I'm going to take a second. Sometimes I'm in my car for like 10 minutes. And sometimes just because I'm just trying to get stuff out of the way, maybe finish a call or something. Because I know when I get home, I'm like, I just want to be there, you know. And I'm not perfect, by the way. I hope people aren't listening to this like, dang, dog. Art just looked up. He's like, yeah, dog. Nah, you got this all messed up. But yesterday, I couldn't control it. Yesterday, you know, I was invited to hang out with a couple cool entrepreneur friends of mine. And that was like a long day. And Amanda's like, when are you going to come home? I'm like, I think we could just meet for dinner. And but because that happened that day, and then like today's happening and we got to prep for the workshop, like I know that like Sunday and I'm going to chill out on Monday. Like it's just rhythm. That's what I mean by the rhythm piece. Like, because if it was about balance, I think we'd all fail.
Yeah. It's hard if you believe that, because then you're like, I can't find the balance. So I'm failing.
And it's unfortunate when people get really good at communicating that that's the goal, or maybe that's that's the way of life. Because, yeah, it all comes down to what you think about it. So if that's what you think, I think you're just going to have a harder time, you know? So I like to think of it more of rhythm than anything. And even the concept of creating content, you know, like I could turn on the intensity for a, and batch some, you know, podcasts for a couple of days, but I'm not going to do that for 5 days in a row. It can't be just the only thing, but because I know that if I can get through this, then we can adjust. And it just is a better way to live. I feel like it just allows me to breathe.
Yeah. Yeah, so I feel like something that you also teach is systems, having systems in place. And I feel like that helps a lot, because if you're someone who thinks you have to create every single day, you're going to get burnt out. Versus, and also like I teach women about like their cycles and how our energy shifts are like throughout the month we do this. So there's a specific week where we have the most energy. And I'm trying to like learn how to.
That's cool.
I'm like, during this week is when I need to be filming. And then when my energy is down, that's when maybe editing or learning or studying what I'm going to. So I feel like that's important too.
Yeah, there's this book called At Your Best by this guy named Cary Newhoff. And he just says essentially like in a day's time, we have these green zones, you know, amber zones and red zones.
Okay.
And some people are morning people and some people are night people and some people are afternoon people. But if the more you know the, what kind of person you are, it's in your best interest to put your most important work when you are your sharpest. And I find that I'm my sharpest in the morning. So that's why I love giving that time to God. And I also love creating before lunch. I feel like after you eat food, it's just like hard to make videos. But that's just me. And some people maybe are like, hey, it's a great time to create content for some people. But knowing that that zone where you are most, I think the word is sharp, where you feel like you're sharpest, it, by putting your most important activity during that time, it's going to reward you. So that's why I also like doing our coach calls at 8 a.m. Some people are like, dude, why do you do it at 8 a.m.? Because I'm like, I'm sharp at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, you know? So, because some guy was like, that's just so early. I'm like, so you would probably, if you had a program, don't do it in the morning then. Do it when you feel your sharpest. Like you could do, you can have a 5 p.m. call, you know? But yeah, this comes to like just self-awareness, knowing yourself really well, because the system that you should create, I found that like not all systems are beneficial for everybody, but it's creating your own system. And so something I like doing in the form of content creation is just always writing down things in my notes. Like, cause I have moments of inspiration, but sometimes the camera's not close or I'm not in a position to film, but I also want to sit on this thought or idea, or sometimes somebody says something to me or says something about content creation and I just write it down. And so I'll, like I think yesterday, the, one of the guys we were hanging out with, he literally said, he's like, man, dude, I'm just so busy. And my video people are always trying to get me to create content, but like, I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing in the business to just like stop and make videos. So like he's giving me all this ammo and I start writing this stuff down because I want to address this, you know, and how can I break this? And this is why I think one of the easiest terms to adopt as someone who's busy and wants to create content is the word invitation. So rather than like setting aside a time to create, just invite people along for the ride and the journey of whatever it is you're doing, you know, like be lavved up and just have a camera rolling, you know?
What you just said also made me think, the girl that I just interviewed, she said, oh, she's like, I'm going to take the questions that you asked me and I'm going to address them on my, she's going to make videos out of that.
No, it's beautiful. So, questions are so powerful. And this is, I think, why my podcast has done so well so quickly is just because I'm very curious. And I'm also not afraid to ask maybe questions that people are more afraid to ask. And so, you know, because I'm really I want to get down to the bottom of why people do, why do they do things a certain way? And how do they arrive to that? And but I would say when it comes to creating content, one of the biggest superpowers people have, in my opinion, is curiosity and kind of, maybe kind of falls in line, but is obsession. Like if there's something that you're obsessed about, like for some reason you care more about than the general public about a certain thing. And like, I love coffee, you know, like I love coffee, like single origin, small batch roasted locally, you know, locally owned, specifically South or African bean type of coffee. I just love Rwanda and Ethiopia. And I invest a lot of money in creating the best cup of coffee every morning. And not a lot of people know that. But when I share about it on my stories and stuff, like people really are like, dang, dude, like, you know your coffee. And like, so other coffee enthusiasts, they, we can, you know, go deep. Or people are like, dude, I want to buy a setup for my home. Like, help me. And it's not a camera setup. It's a coffee setup. Then I'm going to ask, what kind of coffees do you like to, you know?
Yeah.
But we all have these things that, you know, God, and I would say God's designed you to kind of, for some reason, you enjoy more than more most people. I think leaning into your obsession is a good first step to finding success in life. I don't know who says it. There's that saying, you know, like, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. You know that saying? It's kind of true. Like, it doesn't feel like work to me.
Yeah.
Because I just, it's natural gifts, and I'm kind of obsessed with the whole shebang.
Yeah. And I do believe that's another important thing, to know what your gift is instead of trying to copy what somebody else did and be like, oh, they had success, so I have to do what they're doing. And that might not be your gift, and that's okay.
Yeah. And it's freeing to know that that's not your gift.
Yeah.
This episode was brought to you by BCN Supplements, our all-natural supplement company. And for our listeners, we do have a discount code if you visit our website, www.bcnsupps.com. You can use code BUILT, B-U-I-L-T, for 10% off. Thank you so much for listening.
I love communication. It's actually... I don't think communication for me is a gift, because I feel like I have to really work at it, you know? And so it's a skill, you know, like sometimes you got gifts that come natural, and other times there's skills you want to grow in. And I feel like with communication, the skill of it, I feel like I'm having to work double as hard when I look at really good communicators. I'm like, dude, it's so natural for you. And I have this tendency to want to, like, there's this tendency to want to say it the way they say it because it's so captivating, or tell the story just as animated, you know? You know, when I preach, I don't know, like, I don't know if I want to hold a microphone or if I want a headset, you know. I feel more comfortable with a headset, but I love guys that preach with a microphone. And, but there's just something when you really go back to who you are, it helps you become the best servant to the people you're wanting to serve, which like I've learned, the number one goal in communication is connection. So if I'm trying to be somebody else, it's going to be harder for people to connect with me, and it's going to be harder for me to connect with them, because I'm too wrapped up in what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to be, you know? So,
But I think you're a good communicator, because I could watch your videos for a long time, and then there's people who are very animated. I can't listen to them. But so I think it's just like, there's something out there for everybody.
Yeah. Like, and so me being who, you know, who I am is making it easy for you to listen to or watch. Yeah. I have a friend, his name's Neil Dingra. He's actually going to be a part of the workshop, which I'm excited. But he teaches loan officers and real estate agents how to build their brands, like, with Instagram and with video too. That dude has created an incredible brand, has a fire event, like, is his community just loves him, and he is the most chill guy. Like, he'll roll up to a real estate event, thousands of people, everybody in suits, and he's got his hat backwards, black t-shirt, and some dark denim, and some running shoes, and, like, that's all he wears every single day. He'll be the only person at an event with a hat on, and he's the one speaking, you know? And there's just something about him just knowing, he's just secure in who he is. Like, I'm not an animated guy. I'm chill, like, you know? Like, dry sense of humor, you know, whatever, you know, but thank you. I appreciate that. That's a good compliment. Nice to know that the work is paying off.
And something else that I wanted to ask you about, like, the way you started, someone who's just starting, like, what advice could you give them? Because how you mentioned, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, just like how to get started if you got nothing going on, or.
No, how you said use this time to learn. Or, like, to get better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, right now that nobody's watching. Yeah, because I feel like I experienced that. I started making videos, and I was like, okay, this is my first time doing it. I'm going to suck, and it's okay. So it's okay. Along the way, I've been learning, and I've been able to do that because I was okay with getting started when I knew I wasn't good.
Yep.
So tell us about when you started.
Yeah, I would say just most people getting started in anything in life, I think life principle is you get to determine the season that you're in. Like, if you allow exterior events control what season you're in, I would say there's a level of maturity you can grow in with your emotional intelligence to be able to not allow exterior circumstances determine what season you're in. I believe in, you know, the Bible, Jesus says a phrase, he says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world.
Mm.
And, you know, the Holy Spirit is the constant despite all the chaos. And so I can be going through a crazy season, but no, I'm going to choose that this season is a season for growth, you know? So in the same way, when you're just getting started, I always encourage people to identify your season initially starting out as a season of discovery and not a season of you being discovered, but you discovering the all the stuff that takes place, the learning. There's so much learning when it comes to this way of communicating. Like, what is creating content? It's just a form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like because it's so powerful and so accessible, and it's just, there's the opportunity has presented itself right now, that it's worth giving it a shot. But yeah, you can be highly discouraged if you don't identify that initial season as a season of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I guess, because for so long, I was creating content for other people. I was behind the scenes. I was the one with the agency. I was the one shooting and strategizing and editing and putting it all together. And so it's like I knew that one day I would.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in the season of service, I guess you could say, which I guess every season's a season of service, but in that sense, like being behind the scenes and making the person on camera look and sound their best, and then do the best to make sure that whatever we filmed gets the most awareness, that I knew that my time would come. And so when I would film other people, I wouldn't have control over 100% of how they are on camera and all those things. They're in their own lane, you know? But there are things I told myself, you know, when I do it, I'm going to do it this way. When I do it, I'm going to do it that way. And I think that season of preparation, of mental preparation, knowing that this time was going to come, that maybe when some people say their first videos are going to be their worst videos, and that's usually the case. Some of my first videos, I guess, technically weren't terrible in comparison to that. Now, if I'm evaluating it based upon myself, it's cringeworthy. Like, I actually don't like that some of my videos from 4 years ago are still on YouTube, you know? My haircut was different. I talked from a different timbre.
Okay.
You know, like, you know what a timbre is?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so like we have a timbre, which is a sweet spot in our voice.
Okay.
And good communicators find their timbre. And when they find it, it becomes very easy to, you become very easy to listen to. So like somebody could be saying awesome information, but because they're outside of their timbre, it'll sound annoying. Because they're just either super high pitch and they're just out here or they're just not in their like sweet spot. And that takes time, but I wasn't in my timbre. So that's why I'll watch videos back in the day and I'm so like, I'm kind of high pitched and I'm just like, I don't know, maybe I'm just trying to get some point across. And although it was valuable and helpful because I knew what I was talking about, which is just something you can always be predicated on. Like maybe you're not the greatest communicator, but if you know what the heck you're talking about, you're good. You know, but over time that just happened. And I did. And, you know, watching back the footage, as cringeworthy as that is, another season that people need to go through is get over that season of you not being able to listen to yourself. How do you get better if you can't? Can you imagine a professional athlete is like, nah, dude, I don't want to watch myself in the game tape. I don't like how I play. What? You don't like how you play? Like, that's the only way you're going to get better.
Yeah.
It might sound self-serving, but be a fan of yourself. I would even argue that's a biblical principle. That's a weird way to put it, but like love yourself before you love others. So like you'll be incapable of loving others if you don't take care of yourself. I would say it in the realm of content creation, you'll be incapable of helping people effectively if you don't get better yourself. So watching the game tape, I like to say, watch the game tape, watch itself back. You know, I love showing people what my videos, like showing Amanda, like, hey, well, babe, what do you think about this intro? And like, I'll watch her reaction watching the content, and her reaction is telling me a lot. She might check out at this moment. I'm like, oh, I need to change that moment in the edit, or you know. So as weird as like I watch how I am on video. I watch my mannerisms. I want to make sure that I look engaged, you know, like as somebody who says they're excited at this, like in the way I said it, like I'll say I'm excited. I'll be like, dude, I'm pumped. People are like, they don't sound pumped, you know, so that's why I need to be better, you know, at communicating even just facial expressions and, you know, things like that. But yeah, I would say just choosing that season and valuable information is valuable information, you know? So I was helping a guy on a call yesterday who's a mortgage offer, a loan officer. He's been putting off YouTube for like a year. And he has this list of video ideas. And he's like, I just want to make these videos, dude, you know, like, and so much of our conversation for an entire hour was me trying to tell him there's a way to present this information and there's a way that you want to present it, right? Yeah. Like, and because we're in the season where you just need to get videos up, just present it the way you want to present it for now. Don't worry about, you know, it being perfectly titled and thumbnailed and like, bro, just get the reps in, get some videos out, and then they'll just be better. There's a misconception that we think that everyone is going to see everything, you know, and that's just not true. It just, it doesn't matter if you have a million followers. It doesn't matter if you have 10 followers. Everyone won't see everything. Now, if you steward when you have 10 followers as if, you know, if and when you do see this, that you'll get something from it, that feeling over time of people wanting to see what you have to say is created over time of you just caring enough about whoever is watching your stuff. Some people get 3 comments on their videos, but they don't reply to them. You know, I try to reply to every single comment on both Instagram and YouTube. And I have no business doing that. I reply to every DM. It's me. I have no business, but I choose to do that because I know those touch points mean something over time. And yeah, just identifying the season is really important.
Yeah, I like that because I feel like I learned that because, like you said, a lot of people get discouraged, like, oh, I only got 200 followers or views. It must not be good. I'm going to stop. But you could use that as practice. Even like I grew up in a Christian home, but I kind of strayed a little bit and then came back. So I started reading the Bible. I used to always read Proverbs, but everything else, I'm like, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. So I just wouldn't read it. And recently I'm like, okay, I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. And so I've been reading more and I started making videos about it. And I was like, as I'm teaching it, I'm teaching myself. So it's not so much that I'm doing it for people to learn, but it's as I explain it, I learn it. So I've kind of used it as a season for me to learn.
That's good.
And along the way, or for me to be accountable, and along the way, people, certain women have gravitated towards that and been like, I have the same questions. So it's been interesting.
That, I mean, and, you know, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but like questions are powerful. And when you get really good at asking good questions, even in the realm of biblical interpretation, you'd be surprised how much people are asking the same question. And I would say everyone's asking it. Like when I'm writing a sermon, I'm asking questions like, who wrote this? Why did they write this? When did they write this? Where did they write this? Who did they write this to? And like, I don't even need a fancy story from, you know, my life right now, like yet. As I develop this, I'm getting so much insight just by observing the text. And that's what's cool about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit will, because of your experiences, because of what the Holy Spirit's kind of illuminating in your life right now, the Holy Spirit will bring attention to certain observations. For some reason, you'll notice something. I don't know if you've ever heard like a sermon preach on the same text. Like, I've heard so many sermons on the prodigal son, and every time I hear the sermon, it comes off a little bit differently. But because of the person communicating it mixed with what the Holy Spirit's doing in the season right now, personally for me, I hear it differently. And that's the power of God's word and the power of our ability to just ask questions around scripture. I think that's really cool.
And I feel like the more I read it, the more my questions get answered. And I'm like, oh, it's right here. I never saw it before.
That's cool.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, before we go, is there anything else that you want to share with the audience?
Any advice? I was like, if you are still listening or watching, you're a real one, and just DM Brianda on Instagram and just say, hey, I just want to say Omar said I'm a real one. That's all. I'm just coming in and DM just saying I'm a real one. I listened to the whole thing. Because I know a lot of people will – I say a lot of people, but let's just say a lot of people will watch and never say anything. So, I mean, I just want to congratulate you for wanting to get better at whatever it is you want to do. And in this case, maybe build your personal brand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If building your brand, if you're pretty serious about it and like making it, maybe it's one of the skills you want to grow in or one of the things you want to explore. I'll give you a link, and there'll be a link to a free, you know, web class that I'm going to be doing.
Okay.
And you'll learn the possibility. I think that's what, you know, I think mm-hmm. the biggest thing is, if you don't want to go too deep into it, if you know it won't work, mm-hmm. you know, and I think there are a lot of people that this can work for. And mm-hmm. there's just something to say about why some of the most wealthiest individuals are still building their brand online. You know, mm-hmm. think about Kevin O'Leary, who mm-hmm. is worth, I don't know, $400 million, but yet he posts YouTube videos about watches. Why is he doing that? He sees there's value beyond, you know, actual financial ROI, the value of being trusted, which can't be bought, you know, that only comes over time. And so doing the right thing over time. So if that's something you want to do, I would say mm-hmm. check out that link. And other than that, follow me on Instagram. If I'm not hacked right now, I'm currently, my Instagram has been taken down by mm-hmm. some scammers, but hopefully I get it back. And mm-hmm. and then I have a podcast called The Department. Talk mm-hmm. a lot about branding and marketing, and I enjoy the conversations myself, and so mm-hmm. you can check that out. That's The Department with Omar Altakori.
Yeah, and also, like, we didn't even talk about lighting or
we can go as technical as like the practical stuff, but yeah, mm-hmm. and that, all that stuff's on YouTube. If you type in best YouTube studio setup or how mm-hmm. to start a podcast or how to edit video, like mm-hmm. Your boy just shows up for all those things.
Yeah. No, but that's what also like what I like about what you're doing, because you're like, I can teach you the technical stuff. I can tell you you need to buy a new computer, but I can also teach you valuable lessons and like how to do this the right way with purpose.
Which I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you so much for making time for me and my audience and doing this interview with me.
Honored. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll see you guys on the next one.